The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is a world you never understand, and you always fear. But you don't understand.
Because I'm a genius.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
It's getting weird!
And here we go.
It's the Riffs and Rants podcast with your host, Johnny Teflon.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Establishment. And we'll be right back after the first gem of the day.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. Well now, home entertainment was my baby's wish, so I hopped into town for a satellite dish. I tied it to the top of my Japanese car. I came home and I pointed it out into the stars. A message came back from the great beyond. It's 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. Might have made some friends with some billionaires. We might have got all nice and friendly if we made it upstairs. All I got was a note that said bye-bye, John. Our love's 57 channels and nothing on. So I bought a 44 Magnum with solid steel cast. And in the blessed name of Elvis, well, I just let it blast. Till my TV lay in pieces there at my feet. Busted me for disturbing the almighty peace. Judge said, what you got in your defense, son? 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. I can see by your eyes, friend, you're just about gone. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
Yes, don't you totally hate it when you've got 57 channels and there's nothing on? Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Riffs and Rants podcast right here on Big Boom Radio. Hosting is yours truly, Johnny Teflon, and I'm so happy to be joined by my two partners in crime, Mr. Andy B.
How are we doing tonight?
And Mr. Double J, John James.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
You stole my line from the Rockabilly Rumble, but I like that you heard it there. That's good. It's good. Yep, that was starting us off with Bruce Springsteen doing that song, 57 Channels and Nothing On, off of his Human Touch album in 1992. The only real odd thing about that song is that he plays the bass on it, which normally he doesn't do with his songs. Other than that, it's just a simple attempt at irony. But you know what? The song hasn't aged well because I think even with the most basic cable, you get 57 channels now. Am I right?
I don't know. I would pay for cable. So. I mooch off my mom.
Yeah, you'd have to because 57 channels ain't shit.
I have YouTube TV, so I don't know if we can consider that cable or not.
YouTube TV? I use that as well. I do like it, except I can't get SNY to watch my Mets lose. That's a bit of a sticking point, but you know, can't have it all.
They're doing you a favor.
Yeah. But I thought that song was appropriate to start us off tonight because our main topic brought to us this episode by Mr. Andy B is all about the death of sitcoms as we know it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your thought process there, Andy?
So my thought process with it is that with the advent of streaming, networks stopped caring about making a good sitcom or a good drama series, and they dump all their money into buying old shows, rehashing old shows, and what they do release, most of it is streaming platform specific. Okay. For example, the Paramount Network doesn't put new shows on that. They put new shows on Paramount Plus. The Sylvester Stallone show where he was the mob boss. Don't watch it. Tulsa King was terrible. So maybe they're doing everybody a favor by putting it on streaming.
Uh-huh.
But they're not putting new shows that are good on networks.
Okay. So I guess if the old model was, you know, every network would come up with a show. They say, all right, we know this is going to be a hit because it's going to appeal to X, Y, and Z. And the ultimate end game is to make money during the commercials because everyone's watching it. Is it now more like, if I'm following you, once the show is done and it's run its course, or they've got a new idea that they just want to, you know, the season starts on September 1st, here's all 20 episodes of the season, and they sell it to the streaming service, and rather than go for advertising, get the bag of cash up front?
I think
with the way it used to be when they put a show together, you wanted to hit 100 episodes so you can get into syndication. Because at that point, when you're into syndication, that's when you make your money.
Right.
With the streaming shows, they don't have syndication anymore. It's just they want the subscriber, basically. So they're going to dump all those 20 episodes like, hey, here, watch this show. We're not trying to make money on the back end of it, basically.
Well, there is a hybrid to that. Like, for instance, you know, y'all know how much I love my superhero shows and my DC Comics crap. Because they're owned by Warner, it seems like everything, at least in terms of superhero shows, that used to be on the CW is now on HBO Max because it's owned by the same company. So there, they're kind of like double dipping, okay? But yeah, I've seen examples of what you were both saying out there, and I can't help but wonder maybe if there's a third option that you can't put things on TV that you could even 20 years ago.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Because everything is offensive to everybody. And let's face it, some of the best sitcom moments are things that got people talking.
Like what?
Well, easy low-hanging fruit, All in the Family. People would tune in every week because they knew Archie Bunker was going to say something that was offensive and yet funny, and yet they might have actually felt that way themselves. And in a perfect world, Norman Lear could write a script so that maybe, just maybe, he could change people's minds on things by the end of the episode. And if that didn't happen, then maybe at the very least, we could laugh at ourselves. Nobody's laughing at themselves anymore unless it's animated.
I'm Ricky Spanish.
A cartoon also can say things that real people can't.
Also, they waited on All in the Family so they could hear him flush a toilet on TV for the first time ever.
And that.
Are they still sleeping in separate beds in that show?
No, same bed.
Are they sleeping in the same bed? Was that the...
Yeah.
Yep. They're the first toilet flush and first...
I Love Lucy. They were still in separate beds there.
Yeah.
That was so awkward.
I mean, I think...
I don't want a separate bed at my house, but...
Well, what's even worse is that not only were they separate beds, but they were twin size beds.
Yeah.
Two adults.
Because you could just push them together, like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Do the business.
But then,
like, you guys want to sleep and you don't want to, like, you know.
Oh.
You accidentally turn over and smack her in the face kind of thing.
Well, some ladies are into that.
Yeah, well, yeah, not when they're sleeping. I think that's assault.
Now, another thing that just has hit the news over the last couple of weeks is this show, speaking of HBO Max, about all the shows that they used to pump out on Nickelodeon and all the
boy lovers
shenanigans that were going on behind the scenes.
She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
I mean, that's you guys' generation, all right? I was
a little too old. Yeah, no. Like... the generation of when the kids were getting diddled behind the scenes was past me. I mean,
really?
I was like early 2000s.
Oh.
I was in my 20s.
It was after us.
Yeah. That's like the Drake, I mean, and Josh.
Not,
and
I'm not Amanda surprised show. That it happened.
See, I am. With all the, you know, handlers and agents and helicopter parents and everything that were probably hovering around, how these guys were able to pull this off and not get caught is just, yeah, mind-blowing. But then I guess you guys kind of missed all of the very special episode type things about kids getting diddled. I mean, my generation, we had that special episode of Different Strokes where Dudley falls into the clutches of the Maytag repairman. That was
it a bike repair shop or something?
Whatever, same thing. It was traumatic.
We had the majority of ours were they were still basing things off of the proven to not work DARE program, just say no to drugs. So a lot of the shows had drug related episodes as opposed
remember
to
remember the episode of Punky Brewster where like they were playing a hide and seek in the backyard and one of her friends hid in a refrigerator.
That was great.
Dumb bitch. She got stuck in a refrigerator.
Now, seriously, while I missed that episode, and well, yes, Andy does have a point, even though I love the way he slyly injected his own personal opinions in there. You know, all of these shows and these things, whether it was, you know, kids getting molested, kids getting locked in refrigerators, drug use, you know, I think of the moment on Saved by the Bell where she's like, I can't stop. She's like flying high,
so excited,
no nose or whatever.
She was so excited, and then she was so scared.
That's right. I mean, hidden within these sitcoms, and you can go all the way back to like Happy Days or any one of these shows, they had these like little teeny tiny poignant moments, which kind of was like our blueprint for growing up, you know? And I hate to make too much out of it, but I think there's something there. And again, without that, it's kind of like the difference between, you know, streaming services are like going to a private school growing up, okay? Yes, you'll get your entertainment, you'll get your educational aspects, whatever. But the three of us can attest to the fact, having all gone to public school, that you learn as much out of the classroom, whether it be in the hallways, in gym, on the playground, than you do in the class. So it's the same thing with, you know, regular broadcast TV that's appealing to everybody. It's a little piece of Americana that, like so many other things, is now gone. I feel kind of shortchanged, personally.
I learned about the N-word from an episode of Family Matters.
Look, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it existed until someone wrote it on Oracle's locker.
It's a really good example, because stuff like that, it's like, that would have been a really awkward conversation to have with her parents, but we don't have to worry about it if it's on our favorite show.
I had an awkward conversation with my parents about that episode. Yeah.
See, and I would have thought the first word you wrote on the kitchen wall was fart. I was way off.
Yeah, it was an interesting evening at the old James household.
Yeah.
Then like Uncle Jesse and Joey came on and they were doing some Beach Boys song or some bullshit and I totally forgot about it.
That's what TGIF was good for.
Yep, TGIF is the best. We don't have that anymore.
It's no, because they don't make sitcoms anymore.
Yeah, which brings us back to our first point.
Right. See? Well, first, let me throw in a snippet, because John James once said he liked my stories. Not to contrary and compare and contrast, but it's a favorite story in my household to this day around the holidays and whatnot, especially Easter, because that's when it went down. The first time I ever publicly uttered the F-bomb was in church on Easter. And I really didn't even realize I was doing it. I had heard it in the parking lot from people yelling at each other, taking each other's parking spots. And then I just repeated it at the tail end of the church as we're waiting in line to get out. I'm like, man, this is... Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun conversation when we got
home. So people were yelling the F word at each other in about parking spaces at church.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Don't go on one of your anti-religion rants now.
This is in Jersey, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a typical Jersey Easter morning. So don't worry. We believe it.
All right. So lastly, on the whole sitcom thing, I thought it was important that, so everyone's like still learning about you guys. You're new to the fold. So far, the reviews are fairly good. What are your favorite three sitcoms of all time? Why don't you start us off, John?
Me?
Yeah, just give us all three. Tell us
all
why.
All three. Does The Simpsons count?
Sure it does.
Yeah, it's a sitcom. Right.
Simpsons, Home Improvement, and Roseanne.
Wow.
Okay.
That is the most balanced like repertoire, because The Simpsons is left and right. Then you got Home Improvement, which is kind of a right-wing Tim Allen thing. And then you got, you know, the paragon for white trash everywhere, Roseanne. Yeah, that was nice. That was airtight.
Yeah, see? All
any particular reason spectrum, why you picked them?
I don't know. I just enjoyed watching them when I was younger. Simpsons was always hilarious.
Excellent.
Home Improvement was, you know, a different kind of hilarious. And then I just like watching Roseanne be poor.
All right. Fair enough. Before she, of course, uttered, you know, the N-word and that whole
chest. She probably learned that on an episode of Family Matters, too.
Andy, what about you?
I have Married with Children, Seinfeld, and Saved by the Bell.
Wow. Again, this is all subjective, but how did that third one make the list?
I am a massive Saved by the Bell fan.
What? I mean, did it ever actually make you laugh? Truly, like...
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Because the other two are hysterical. I have no qualm with that.
I mean, Saved by the Bell might have when I was younger, but it was just, it's one of the shows that was on growing up. It was always on TV. It's still holiday weekends. Usually has a Saved by the Bell marathon that ends up getting left on TV for a long time each weekend. I mean, I would challenge anybody to Saved by the Bell trivia.
Oof, the things you think you know about people.
Did you watch the new Saved by the Bell?
I watched the first season.
What did you think?
It was not good.
Who was your favorite original Saved by the Bell character? Like, who did you identify with?
I mean, Zach, obviously, because he's an asshole. I mean, let's be honest. Who was it? We're gonna pick Slater, Mr. Yeah. Belding,
Screech.
Remember
Screech made a poop porn.
Well, Screech, I was gonna say, ironically, we could probably all identify more with Screech in real life than any of the other ones.
Why did you make a poop porn?
Zach had the
since he said that was the kid from The Christmas Story who went on to do porn movies. The one that licked the pole. Oh yeah. Look at Andy, he didn't know this.
Wait,
are you talking about he licked a pole in Christmas Story or
and then went on to do straight porn, yes.
Oh, okay.
It was like a dumpy middle-aged guy with these hot porn stars. And it's like they made sure they plastered that right on the box. You know, you might remember him as Slick.
So, speaking of Family Matters, one of the daughters on Family Matters went into porn too.
This is also true.
Judy, remember, like Judy, like disappeared halfway through the series. Like she just went upstairs one day and she was gone.
Is that
next
why?
Thing you know, she's into pornography.
Huh. Yep. That whole approach made classic, of course, by Chuck, the oldest brother from Happy Days, who was in episode one, went upstairs, wished everybody good night, and then never saw him again.
Well, he was in a pilot. They didn't need him the rest of the show.
And you know what's weird? If you find old Happy Days on whatever streaming service you got, season one is different than all the rest of them because they changed directors and like the whole like MO of the show. Season one's kind of funny and maybe like just a teeny tiny bit edgy. And then after that, it just turned to like Frosted Flakes, you know. But yeah, in the 70s, that's what we all watched.
That show just kind of fell apart, right? Didn't it have like Mork and Mindy show up out of nowhere?
But it was like everybody got a spot on that show. Tom Hanks, his first role was as a character on Happy Days. People forget that. But yeah, Mork, boop, that was like the launching pad for that. It's just, it got watered down when all the original cast members were like, no, we're adults now. We're moving on to other things. And it was like Fonzie was the last man standing.
I mean,
and he on the show, he married a chick, and her little daughter was that girl from Poltergeist that was cursed.
They're here.
Oh,
yeah, true story. All right, no, those are excellent choices, fellas. I'll throw mine in there. Number one, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Just yeah, makes me laugh harder than any other show ever. Taxi,
never seen it.
Just because the characters are just so good. And again, star-studded cast. And then my version of Saved by the Bell, kind of milquetoast if it's compared to the other ones, Family Ties, because it's just like so 80s. I loved it.
So, John, what's your favorite episode of Always Sunny?
Oh, my God. I got to go with the cream pie episode.
That was going to be mine, too, just because it was... It was just hysterical to continuously talk about cream pies in a way different way than you would think.
Yeah, and I'd say my the runner up there is The Implication.
Charlie Work, I think, would be my runner up.
Oh yeah, see, there's so many good ones. Just,
but The Implication is very good as well.
Yeah, John James, you got to get on it. I mean, it's so easy to go back and watch. And you're a Philly fan, so it's right up your alley.
I watched the episode where the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That was
all right.
That was about it.
But you didn't have like.
I don't get the appeal of the show, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, it's not for everybody.
It's not.
No, they're not going to teach me about the N word on it. So.
Well, there was that. Now, never mind.
That's the other side of Philadelphia.
Kensington. Oh, we just lost our market segment there. I saw the light go out. Damn it.
Darn.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the main topic tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to take our first break and have the middle gem. This one, a portend of what we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. One of my favorite, what's the word? We used it in the last episode. Not a spoof song. John James, what do they call that? Like Weird Al type stuff.
A spoof song.
I guess it is a spoof song.
I would also agree. I think it's a spoof song.
Okay, it's a spoof song. But it's not based on anything. It's an original. But yeah, this is what we did in the 80s. This is a little ditty called Space Invaders by a gentleman named Uncle Vic. So I'm going to spin that for everybody. And we'll come back in about 3 minutes and talk about some more things and stuff.
Well, there it is in the corner of the bar. I tried to run, but I didn't get far. Those weird little men, I'll blow them away. I'd sell my mom for a chance to play.
He's hooked, he's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
They start off slow, but they don't play clean. It's tricky and low, it's a mean machine. There's lots of them and one of you. When the walls are gone, they'll get to you.
He's hooked, his brain is cut. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders.
Faster and faster all the time. An hour of this will blow your mind. Gotta get them before they get you. And you'll be broke before you're through.
He's hooked, his brain is cooked. He's hooked, his brain is cooked.
As the gang looks over your shoulder in awe, they don't believe what they just saw. You slid to the left and slid to the right. You're the Space Invaders king tonight.
He's hooked, his brain is cooked. He's hooked, his brain is cut.
Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders. Space Invaders.
A feeling of power comes over your hand. Row by row, you're in command.
There's one last devil moving real fast. One single shot, got him at last. Space Invaders.
Hey, wow, me, man.
Space Invaders. Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Space Invaders.
I'm going now.
Space Invaders.
Now, my boy, grow.
Space Invaders.
Gee, almost got you.
Space Invaders.
We're cooking now.
Space Invaders.
Oh, wow, really cosmic, man.
Yes, I so loved that song, that parody from 1982, when they would just do parody songs about everything. So, of course, video games were in the line of fire. And this one, I like, not only because I loved Space Invaders, that was my favorite, like, original video game. But this tune's got, like, some bass in it, and it's, I don't know, it's just kind of cool. Pac-Man Fever is also another one. I think they also did one for Centipede, too, but they weren't that good. Anyway, that was by a gentleman named Uncle Vic, which kind of sounds like some hokey guy that sits in his basement and does parody songs, from his 1982 album, Dementos Mementos. And that's what's up with that. And, of course, as always, I picked that song because we have an agenda, and that would be our subtopic, tentatively called Video Games Killed the Superhero Star. And basically the point is, with such cinematic successes as the Mario Brothers movie, the HBO series The Last of Us, and now trying to be as unbiased as possible by quoting the amazing Fallout series on Amazon, you're starting to think, wow, maybe it's going away from superhero movies, because the last couple quote-unquote big superhero movies, even from the folks at Marvel, have kind of flopped.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
So what are we thinking about that?
I think in the case of the past couple movies from Marvel flopping, is that once they finished the Avengers series, mm-hmm. like that was that was it.
Gotcha.
They were like, hey, we're going to try to recapture this, and they're never going to be able to.
Right.
You're gonna and I agree. Everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, I'm not going to take anything away from Marvel. Their first barrage of movies, the way they did it, the acting, the storylines, especially, everything was just amazing. They could do no wrong. But I think what they found out is that even in the world of comic books, if you've got a super team, whether it be the Justice League or the Avengers, people like that lineup for a reason, because it works, you know. But what happens is the publishers or the studios, they want to switch it up. So Marvel said a long time ago that after they finished up with the first Avengers arc, there was going to be a new version of the Avengers. But I think, yeah, people are just, they're fatigued. They're worn out. You know, everybody loved Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. And once they killed him off, nobody else is going to be as good in that role.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Too soon? We're spoil a movie from 7 years ago, you dummy.
God.
Yeah. This show's going to get canceled.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's just, like I said, that's my nerd view on it, looking at the comic books. Because, yeah, that happens all the time. They switch things up. And I can't even tell you how many incarnations of the Justice League they've been through. I would have liked to have seen one good movie version of it. But, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's because you like DC.
Yeah. And it's a day. I was actually sitting here earlier tonight watching their latest animated release, Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1. Visually stunning. I mean, they really took their time on this, because DC's animation is ridiculous. But again, they're not using a story from the comic books. They feel they got to like tweak it and modernize it. And it's like, no, just leave it alone. It's good enough the way it is. So that, coupled with, you know, these movies they're doing about the video games, are better than anybody expected.
Well, I mean, do you remember the old video game movies?
Like Street Fighter?
Like Street Fighter and the first Super Mario Brothers movie?
The first Mario Brothers movie was so bad.
Yep. And then they did, there was a Double Dragon movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also ass. Yeah. Mortal Kombat was pretty good.
What's that?
Mortal Kombat was good.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was pretty good. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, not so much.
Not so much.
But the reboot of the Mortal Kombat movies was good.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Now, do you think that's because and this doesn't hold up with, you know, Mario Brothers. I think that was just total nostalgia, kind of like the way Barbie worked. Hmm. But if you look at The Last of Us, or if you look at the Amazon version of Fallout, the source material is so damn good versus all those movies that John just mentioned that were just like crap, double crap. Can, you know, honestly, here's the question. Do you see video games now taking over that sci-fi void? Something's always going to fill that when it comes to movies. So if there's no Star Wars, because it's all on streaming platforms, harkening back to our first topic, and same thing with Star Trek, there's like a bazillion different Star Treks on the Paramount networks. So that's done. Granted, there's a lot of giant monster kaiju movies out there, but I don't see that going the distance because it's the same damn thing every movie. There's no change. So is it now going to be about these video games, and how long before they start making the process creatively in reverse, where they're designing these video games knowing full well that they want to make a movie out of it, which I imagine might make for a really cool movie or video game?
Same now.
For every Mario Brothers or Last of Us or Fallout, there's an Uncharted, which was not good. There's a Halo. So
Hitman.
Halo was not very good of a series. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as The Last of Us or maybe Fallout, because I haven't watched Fallout yet. But from what I've seen, Fallout looks fantastic. And from what John has told us, screaming from the rooftops, that Fallout is a great series, so I don't have to check that out. This is not an ad for Fallout or Amazon Prime Video, by the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could, but you're going to run out of, you'll come up with, there's certain games like The Last of Us series, everybody loved. Fallout, everybody loved. Like, Mario is Mario. Like, the Sonic movie did okay. It didn't do fantastic. I mean, Mario did like close to $1.5 billion in the box office.
Crazy.
I think Mario did 300 million. I mean, it also has Jim Carrey way late in his career.
He's just angry at everything now.
Yeah.
The movies are fantastic.
But I mean, are they going to come up with a Crash Bandicoot movie?
No, but they're having a Knuckles TV series on Paramount Plus.
They are having a Knuckles TV series on Paramount Plus.
You know what else we collectively forgot? Rampage.
I never watched it. We didn't selectively forget it. Yeah, we forgot it.
I didn't watch it for a reason.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. There have been like a lot of flops that have come out, and it seems like, and not to put the cart before the horse, because we're going to talk about our favorite, you know, video games and then video game movies in a minute, but they just seem to have, let's say, luck with everything that's maybe come out as a video game in the PlayStation era. Anything before that, not so much. Because those games didn't really have a story. They were side-scrollers. It was like kick punch, do this, do that, and you were done. There was no surprises involved. But nowadays, it's like, you know, I mean, there are times where I'm playing Fallout and something will jump out and literally scare the shit out of me. You know, and it's just, there's so much effort goes into these things now. Plus, the plot lines in the games, they rate them, because normally you guys see like the reviews when they come out, and they'll say, how long is the actual gameplay to get from start to the end? And the games that they tend to rave about are the ones that take forever to get through. And I think it was one of the Grand Theft Autos, that one of the newer ones, that somebody complained that it was only 4 hours to get through it, like the first gameplay. So that's how they judged them. Like, how much meat is there to the story?
I don't know. I don't play video games because there's too many buttons.
And we're getting older. Our reflexes aren't what they used to be.
Yeah. You remember the Oregon Trail?
I do.
Yep. That's the only game you can die of diarrhea.
Nobody wants to go out like that. You can die of diarrhea, but that one, they specifically tell you that you're going to die of diarrhea.
What other games can you die of diarrhea?
I'm sure there is some. I have not. I don't know any off the top of my head.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's an old PC game called Leisure Suit Larry where you can die from things worse than diarrhea.
Leisure Suit Larry was ridiculous.
Although they also rhyme with Rhea at the end.
There was a game called The Guy Game, and it was like this weird game. This was like right around the beginning of the Xbox, and it was kind of like you answered trivia questions, and then like it was like a Girls Gone Wild kind of thing, so it was like a mature game.
Oh.
And it came out, and then they immediately pulled it from the market because it turned out one of the girls in there was 17.
Oh, yep. Boy.
Yeah. But they were selling it at Blockbuster at one point.
Everything in that whole story is so dated, but I love it. All right, well, let's jump to, like I said before.
To make a movie based on the Guy Game.
Yeah.
Like, without the miners in it.
Sorry, R. Kelly. Okay. John James, what was your favorite video game?
Video game?
Yeah.
You ever hear about this game called The Guy Game? Any of the Konami arcade games, like the 4 to 6 player, like The Simpsons, Ninja Turtles.
You're big into side-scrollers.
And the X-Men one.
Uh-huh.
Everybody but Dazzler. Dazzler was the worst. But yeah, those are my favorite games. I actually have the Simpsons and the Turtles arcade in my basement.
You're talking about the Simpsons one where Marge's weapon is a vacuum, correct?
Yes. Okay. And there was, and then Homer just...
Insert sexist comment there.
Just swinging that around pretty good, though.
She did.
I would never pick Marge, though, you know.
No.
The woman.
Not a strong character. But...
As always, Homer.
Out there in Interweb Radio Land, I can vouch for John James's amazing man cave basement. It's just lined with action figures still in the boxes. Not one, but two side-scrolling video games. Multiple electronically activated Ghostbusters toys. Big sinky lounge chairs with a decent-sized TV for relaxing and maxing. It's a good room, dude. Solid room.
There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster.
Thank you.
Yep. Andy doesn't have that luxury.
Andy has children.
A beautiful house in the suburbs, living the dream. But Andy, this is a joke that's going to keep giving as they get older, has two beautiful young daughters.
When do they start dating?
Yeah. Hopefully when he sees how much ice sculptures cost at a wedding. And his response would be, nope, I got a union guy that'll do that for me.
I actually just thought I heard one of them coughing, so.
Uh-oh.
No, we're good.
I respect the hell out of you. I don't know if I in a million years could raise two daughters. Oof. Thank God your wife is amazing.
We have to listen to a lot of, according to my 3-year-old, Taylor Swish.
Indeed. What was the other one you said the other day? The name was just slightly off.
Oh, yeah. My older daughter just got, as the younger girl one said, she got bracelets on her teeth from the orthodontist. Bracelets is close enough.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Not when she's jumping on the couch and ripping a cushion.
The cushion with his braces?
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one's out of control.
Yeah, total chaos of the household. But that's, that's just God messing with you because you deserve it. All right. So, Andy, your favorite video game of all time?
I have two.
Okay.
Because I want to be difficult and I couldn't pick just one. The DuckTales game for the original NES was, John's got it on his shirt, was the, it was a Capcom game. Capcom games for the original NES were some of the best games music-wise, graphics-wise. And granted, it's all 8-bit, but they just, the colors popped. The music was fantastic.
Music were bops.
Yeah, the music were all bops. The gameplay was pretty good. And I mean, the Capcom made, they made DuckTales, they made Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, they made Darkwing Duck. DuckTales was the best out of all of them.
All right.
And my new school game, newer school games, Grand Theft Auto Vice City was the best out of the Grand Theft Auto games. After I got to Vice City, they started adding too much. You had to eat, you had to work out, you had to get haircuts. Vice City, just the gameplay was there. They had a ton of voices. Ray Liotta was the main character's voice. Samuel L. Jackson had a voice and a bunch of big actors, and it was a lot of gameplay time for that, and it was a fun game.
You can just beat up hookers and stuff in there, right?
Well, then there's
what you do is you pick up the hooker, do everything, the amount of money you have goes down. They get out of the car, and then you beat them with a baseball bat and take your money back.
That's wholesome.
Exactly. It's fun for the whole family.
It is.
Yeah, corrupting today's youth. Remember that time we got the... Which Batman game was it? Was it Arkham City?
It was Arkham City.
Yeah. And we were like, all right, here's the deal. I know everything about Batman. You've got better reflexes. So Andy manned the controls, and I interpreted the whole thing as we went through, and we beat it in, 2 days?
Or something like that. Our roommate bought it.
Yep.
And he was out and about, and we ended up beating it before he even got a chance to turn the game on.
God damn, that boy's be crazy. He good. He must be
crazy. And we may or may not have caused that one white pixel dot to appear on his TV.
Maybe. Whoopsie. It wasn't our fault. It's a DLP. They did that a lot.
Well, mine was, it was easy. I was going to say two, but then I'm like, no, because I can't break my own rules. So I went with Street Fighter II, easily my favorite video game because of the cultural aspect of it. Growing up on the Jersey Shore, we would go to these big arcades on the boardwalk, and it was like a test of manhood, and people would line up for both sides of the machines, do their characters, talk incessant smack at each other, sometimes literally starting fist fights over this stupid game. But it was just so amazing. And at the same time, being much younger and in shape, I was actually doing martial arts. So yes, in my warped little head, I was like a character in the thing. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
So you guys used to talk junk to each other at the arcade and almost get into fights in Jersey?
Incessantly. Can you imagine that?
No, I mean the state where they say the F word in the parking lot on Easter Sunday? Get out of town.
And my one buddy, Ray, who was really good at Street Fighter, was a big, big, tough dude, would actually stand at the machine with his feet about 3 to 4 feet apart just to annoy the other player. And that would tend to start the ball rolling there.
So who's your character?
He was actually going to chime up and say something to him, and then he'd look at the size of my friend and just be like, oh, never mind.
Do it!
Who'd you use all the time, Ryu?
No, I was a Sagat man.
Do it!
Okay.
Sagat.
Yeah, all right, just big and he's cool looking. Now, if I wasn't able to do that because you had to like get to him or whatever, then it was always Guile because the haircut was badass.
My stupid movie. Remember the Street Fighter movie?
I'd like to forget it.
On the soundtrack, there was a song done by MC Hammer and Deion Sanders.
Oh. And yet, don't know how it never got nominated for an Oscar.
Raul Julia was robbed.
Yeah, he was.
He was robbed.
All right. Now, the flip side of that is, what's your favorite movie, either about video games or based on a video game.
So you heard of this game called the Guy Game?
Yes, folks. He tends to get himself in a rut in the second half of the show. It is a pattern.
My favorite video game movie is probably the first Mortal Kombat.
Really?
Just because it was like, I was like 13 when it came out, and
all right,
saw it multiple times in a theater. It's bad, but it's not bad. Is that?
No, you're right. I mean,
and that song is a jam. Like, you put that song on, I want to roundhouse kick somebody.
Right.
I would like to see you roundhouse kick somebody.
Well, put that song on, and we're about to talk. Let's see.
All right.
That's like entering a David Lee Roth singing contest and not being able to hit the high kick for the win.
That was you?
I hear.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy?
So I wrote down The Last of Us because
it was a gay episode.
First of all, it was takeaway that it was a gay couple. Regardless, the love story that was in that episode was absolutely amazing. But a lot of the scenes and other parts of that show were like on point with the video game, specifically when they're trying to escape and his daughter gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. It's like a shot for shot remake of the video game.
All right. So you were a player of The Last of Us.
I did play The Last of Us. Yes.
Okay.
So I had The Last of Us written down, but the Mario Brothers movie that came out last year was so fun and had, like, my kids liked it, but, like, there's Easter eggs for if you grew up playing Mario Brothers games were in it. The only thing I don't remember growing up was Donkey Kong laughing like Seth Rogen.
Or making that stupid Seth Rogen face on the promo poster.
Yes.
Just like, I'm stoned. Yes.
But so I guess my answer would be for a fun one, Mario Brothers, for something that's going to have lasting power in multiple seasons, it would be The Last of Us.
I mean, how many Last of Us games did they make?
What's that?
They made two.
Two?
So it may only be two seasons then?
Until they create their own canon. They didn't get to the end of the first game with the first season of the show.
Oh, I didn't watch the show or play the game, so I don't know.
Got to get with that, man. It's pop culture.
Nope.
Got to keep stocking your pop culture knowledge.
Andy, The Mandalorian.
Andy inadvertently, or maybe not, stumbled on really the crux of the argument.
He's heating up!
When he described why he liked the Mario Brothers movie. He could take his daughters to see it. They're watching it and they're appreciating it on one level. He's watching it and he's appreciating it on a different level because of like nostalgia and stuff like that. And that was also the blueprint for all the early superhero movie successes.
Boom, shakalaka!
Where even with the Batman ones, you know, whether it was the Keaton version or the Christopher Bale version, yeah, you want to attract new people and amaze them with what's going on, but the diehard fans as well that remembered this stuff love to see it brought to life on the big screen. It's a thrill. You know, I'm sure that they should at least be another season of The Last of Us. And I'm glad to hear that you were somebody that watched, you know, the thing as well as played the video game. I teased gently about the gay episode because sadly, we live in a society where even the creative types are checking off boxes, okay? But, yeah, from what I've heard, those characters are all mentioned. They just flesh them out
in the show. The one played by, what's his name that plays Ron Swanson?
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
So Nick Offerman's character is in the game, and they allude to him being gay in the game. And they obviously don't go to a backstory.
Right.
So it's not, they didn't just say like, hey, it's 2023. We need to have a gay couple in a show. they just said, hey, the character's already here, let's just add to it. And it became an absolutely incredible episode.
Yeah. I mean, extremely well received. It was well done. And you're right. They saw an opportunity because, look, no one's going to sit through 8 episodes of like pod people and plants chasing around the protagonist, kind of like Walking Dead, where, you know, by the second episode, the zombies aren't the scary threat. It's the other people. And that's what they explored. So, again, smart showrunners heading up these projects. Now, it would have been easy for me to say, well, my favorite movie or show is Fallout. It's still too soon. I don't know. I'll see what they do in season 2. So for me, oddly enough, Silent Hill was the first like modern game, I guess, that I played on PS2 back then. And in playing it in a dark room with a real big TV scared the crap out of me when these little gremlins came out, started stabbing me in the calves with a butcher knife. And I was like, oh, and that movie, while not spectacular, is very atmospheric and very scary. And that's why it just, yeah, out of all the other ones, just kind of stuck in my head. But probably a super duper close second now is going to have to be Fallout, because they just did such a good job on that. But we'll see.
Oh, I have a new one I want to say is my favorite.
All right, here he comes, folks.
So, you know, there's this game called Madden.
Okay.
My favorite show based on that game is the NFL and the New York Football Giants.
Well, that's right. That whole that show they do on Fox where they play a game and then they talk about it, that's based on Madden.
Yeah. And then you know who wins that game every time? Andy, do you know who wins that game every time?
I do. It would be the New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants, John.
Now, for my money, it's the 07 Pats. Just Brady to Moss is unbeatable, just like in real life.
Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl.
Like that. Bo
Jackson and Tecmo Bowl.
All right, so that's it for topic number 2, and it is time once again for another gem. Now, this one, I'm not going to give away the family store just yet, but let's just say it's a song by Papa Roach called Getting Away with Murder. And we're going to play this for you, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes with some more things and a wrap-up. Stay tuned.
Somewhere beyond happiness and
All right. Yes, as I said earlier, that was Papa Roach doing their little ditty, Getting Away with Murder, off of the album by the same name. It was their fourth studio album, which did all right. That was back in 2004. Not a huge Papa Roach fan, but you know what? That song said everything I needed to say, because part of our denouement of this episode, we had a death in Hollywood. I guess, yeah, Hollywood. Just the other day, Mr. O.J. Simpson. Yeah, enjoy the dirt nap. Now, we all know what O.J. did, what he supposedly didn't do, and then, you know, everything in between. The question is, that whole farce of a trial, where were you guys the day they announced the verdict?
Well, first of all,
don't do it.
It was a jury of his peers. They didn't say he was guilty. And he did say he was going to help find the killer.
How's that going?
He still hasn't found him.
No, he did.
But I was in math class in seventh grade when they announced it over the loudspeaker. And I remember that because my seventh grade math teacher was British. And I got in trouble because I would speak with a British accent back to her.
Bit of a sticky wicket in it.
Mental in it.
Seventh grade. Wow. What about you, John?
What year was it?
You were in eighth grade, John.
96, yeah. Maybe?
So I think it was at my friend Phil's house. We were watching wrestling or some shit.
Of course you were.
I remember when the OJ stuff was going on, like my grandmother was reeled into it. She like watched all the old like true crime TV show garbage, and she'd have like Marcia Clark on her TV all the time, like with her bad haircut.
Oh, horrible haircut.
Watching all the news footage, and she would buy like all the OJ merch that they would put out. They really mass marketed a murderer.
They were.
Everybody.
Like, it was all plots over late night TV, the skits and everything they did on Jay Leno. And
yeah, the dancing Edos.
Yes.
I had
meanwhile, people are laying in a pool of blood, almost beheaded, and we got comedy for it.
No, but yeah, but it's, you know, it's entertainment. I had a Pog slammer that had OJ's face on one side smiling, and it said not guilty, and on the other side it said guilty, and it had like jail bars over his face.
I feel like I just went back in a time machine. You had so many 90s references there in one sentence.
That's great. OJ trial was awesome back in the day, but then
on a positive note about the OJ trial. Court TV never would have made it if it wasn't for the OJ trial.
Hey, without them, or without OJ, rather, we never would have been gifted the Kardashians.
Oh, man.
Look at that. See?
Oh, I'll say, as someone who has cancer, I'm glad one of my boys took him out, just for that reason.
I will say, because I was, you know, of age at the time, I was on my way to the bar to meet friends to listen to the verdict. Got caught in traffic, so I heard it at a red light, and I was like, turning it up. People were beeping me. I'm like, shut up, the verdict. But to give a little break to Andy, you're right. He was found innocent. And I think the legacy of that whole trial, without being preachy or anything, is that it exposed the complete ineptitude of the police force, the detectives, the prosecution. And that makes you think, wow, all these cats like Shawshank, they all go to jail and they all say they're innocent, you know? I don't know. DNA evidence finds a lot of these guys innocent like a decade into their sentence. But looking at that sloppy-ass police work, number one, it makes you wonder, right?
Message!
The other thing is, just me being me, because I'm not like that nice of a person.
Switch me on.
Ron Goldman, he went to go get himself a piece. I mean, talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. I came to return her glasses. No, you didn't. You weren't going to shag OJ's wife, and you got.
He F-A-F-O'd. He did. Remember, OJ got away with murder and literally went to jail for stealing merchandise back, like... sports memorabilia back.
Because he's a moron. He really is like Nordberg, the character he played in the Naked Gun movie. Not a bright man. But You know, the big scuttlebutt today, the announcement was that his family has repeatedly denied requests for the NFL to get his brain for CTE research.
Oh, he's going to have a lot of CTE.
Oh, man. His brain's just a mashed potato at this point.
But, like, not for nothing, the Goldman estate never got dime number one from that civil suit that they won. So, yeah, maybe the family should have sold his brain just to give those people some money and an ounce of satisfaction. I don't know. Call me crazy.
The league won't buy the brain. They just want him to donate the brain.
Yeah. They're cheap.
Now, that sounds funny coming from you, Andy, who will never do anything for free. Surely you could haggle off some kind of asking price for OJ's brain.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Is it $1 and a fiver? Something. That's gotta
Wait, are they going to cremate him or are they going to bury him?
Cremation. Oh. Yep.
Is that true?
That's true.
Oh. Where are they going to sprinkle him?
What's that?
Where are they going to sprinkle him?
The front porch of Nicole Brown Simpson's house. With a hotel room in Vegas.
They're going to put a glove
then
on
that doesn't fit really so good. Track him inside. All right, so yeah, so that was what, yeah, the big news story of the week so far. Where do they hear it next week?
R.I.P. All right. OJ, rest in piss.
Yeah. So, let's see, what's going on at BigBoomRadio.com? Listeners, rip your show up, so thank you everybody for tuning in. It's so easy to do. You know what? I get my car, and I got the Android Auto. Andy, what's the Apple version? CarPlay still?
Yeah, it's CarPlay.
Yeah, so you download the Live 365 app. That way, at your leisure, right? You're driving to and from work. You can listen to this podcast. You can listen to the radio station. The podcast you can also do through iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, and the list goes on and on and on. We're everywhere. We're bigger than U.S. Steel. So there's that. Tune in every Friday to the Hot Lunch. That goes off at noon. That's 1 hour of a different theme that changes every week. It's fun. It's nice. It gets you in the right mindset because, let's face it, Friday, after lunch at Friday, nobody's worth a damn. You're already enjoying your weekend.
Damn!
And let's see what else. Also, a new entry into the Classic Rock Showcase. I went with Godsmack. And yeah, even Godsmack now is considered classic rock. You're looking at like easy 20 years ago. So it had to happen. Nice, rowdy band. That'll be playing next week. And don't forget, folks, you can always see what's on the Classic Rock Showcase simply by going to BigBoomRadio.com, and right there on the front page, it shows you Monday through Friday. Boom. Playing your whole week around that shit. So that being said, gentlemen, any last thoughts?
Play the guy game.
Play the guy game. Just don't get caught playing the guy game because
don't
locked up.
Now, if I were to go buy the guy game, what system would it be playable on?
The ones you get in prison, because you'll be in prison for buying the guy game. Because it's underage.
There's got to be bootleg copies out there if it's that.
Sure. Well, I mean, go on the dark web. You'll find it.
Quick find
a lot of
story.
Other things, too.
Being the ultimate 80s nerd, the other week, I'm looking around the house, and I'm like, you know what? I got so much crap. I got to start downsizing. I decided it was time to sell my Commodore 64. So I had, you know, the basic computer, the disk drive, all the cables and everything. I list it for, I don't know, it's like $150. Just looking to get rid of it. Do a buy it now. Some cat hits me with an offer for $125. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll do it. Pack everything up, ship it off to him. He gets it, and now it magically doesn't work. I literally plugged it in, took all the pictures like right before I wrapped it up and sent it to him. So I know it all worked. He said a key was popped off, which he sent a picture it was. And I said, well, is there any damage to the box? I mean, how did all this happen? No, the box is fine. So I'm like, shit. So, based on eBay rules now, I gotta send him a mailing envelope and I gotta accept a return for it. It's still sitting in my kitchen. I haven't plugged it in yet. I was supposed to do it this weekend. But my thing is, have you guys like sold anything on eBay lately?
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Yes.
I haven't sold anything on eBay in a few years.
Well, it used to be really cheap and a great way to get rid of stuff.
No, it's not anymore.
It is not.
No. eBay, not only, like, eBay, okay. eBay, you have to pay of selling fee, but your selling fee is based off the what the buyer pays, including their taxes and the shipping. So that's your percentage there. And then if you want any of your listings to actually be seen, you got to pay them their promoted listings fees.
Of course,
which can
you
be
do.
Anywhere from 2% to like 15%, depending on how much you want your listing to be seen. eBay is a joke.
Yes.
And then the sellers have no recourse over the buyers. Buyers can do whatever they want. They can order stuff and not even pay. And like, you can't even leave them negative feedback. Literally, the only way you can give them a negative comment by giving them a positive feedback and then leaving snarky garbage in the feedback thing. So, F eBay.
Goddamn right.
Well, for once, sir, you and I are in lockstep because damn, okay? But their fees, you know, I thought I learned my lesson when I sold my Mongoose last year, I think it was. And the offer started coming in. And some people said, well, we'll take the drive up and just pay you cash. But you guys know me. I'm Mr. Law and Order. Always do the right thing. I'm like, well, no, I don't feel comfortable with that because I already started the process through eBay. So, you know, I'll mail it to you. And then they backed out.
Mailed a bike?
Yeah. I had to mail a bike. And the thing is, there's no, like, fun, convenient box that a bike from 1985 is going to fit in, okay? So I had to take it to the shipping place locally. It cost me $300 to ship the bike.
John, I sold it for $900 with cash.
Right? Sold it for $900, shipped it for $300, and eBay took a bite out of my profit still, probably to the tune of almost $100.
Yep.
Because you're right. The bigger the ticket item price, the more they take. And it's also, it depends what it is. Like jewelry has a set thing. Electronics have a set thing.
Yeah, it's a different percentage for anything.
Yep.
Oh, John, just in, our new sponsor is eBay, so.
Not anymore. And I thought I picked a fight with Spotify and Universal Music Group. Oh, no. Now we're going after eBay. F them. Okay, yeah, bunch of shysters.
Small fishes and big ponds.
Right? I'm better off going to an Italian guy in the corner with four fingers to sell this shit for me and give me a spot later on than deal with eBay. But that's just me. Jersey, what are you going to do? All right, folks, that's it for this very entertaining episode of the Riffs and Rants podcast. I want to thank both of my co-hosts for joining me. Andy B.
Trash.
Thanks for having me.
And the effervescent and always wacky Mr. John James.
Dummy Incorporated.
The pleasure is all yours.
Indeed it was. So until next time, everybody, we'll see you on the flip side. Deuces.